Yo, and we're up and recording. I greet everybody. This is Wesley Pepper. This is the Art Lexia podcast. This is episode 134. And yeah, if you're new to this channel, much love, man. Thank you for joining me today. And to my new and returning listeners, much love, man. Much love. Thanks for the love I've been getting, especially on Paul Caluso's episode 2 weeks ago. Thanks for all the shares and lessons, and even last week's episode with My Body, My Space. That festival is actually up and running from the 11th of May, 11th of March to the 15th, and I'll actually be posting shorts about that in this coming week, which is the second which is the second week of March. Okay, man. Yeah, everybody remember, I'm working on Genaro Talks Football. Much love to my brother. I'm all the way from Washington. Check out his channel, Genaro Talks Football. I still haven't added the link to my blog, but I will be doing that. And also this African Genius that I do with Atlas from Texas. So look out for that as well. With that said, it's the third week of March. It's pretty warm here in South Africa today. I've got a guest all the way from Delhi, Akirti Kuntal. She is a writer, a poet, a visual artist. I guess a writer and a poet and a visual artist, a painter. Does some really interesting conceptual stuff. When we're talking about a poetry, a process, it's got a cool gig, but we're going to talk about it a bit later. My sister, firstly, good afternoon and welcome.
Hi, good afternoon from India. And everyone, this is Akriti Kuntal, and from India, like I said, New Delhi, based in New Delhi right now.
Yeah. And, yeah, you say it. Now continue.
Yeah, so I'll talk a little about the weather here. So like Wesley and I were just chatting. So it's still pretty cold, which is not expected during this time of the season. It's spring, but as you can see, I'm still in a cardigan. So still enjoying the chilly weather before it gets really hot. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So
no.
I'm a
Pardon?
I'm a poet and a visual artist, so I dabble in various forms of photography and photo collage and the likes of mixed media. But primarily, I think I write mostly. As we move ahead, I'll talk a little more about the processes involved.
Yeah. Interesting. Just having a look at your poetry through reading your stuff. It also looks like you're talking a lot about your observations, how you're observing your surroundings, and how you sort of contextualize that into words. And your artwork is very conceptual, and I'd like to unpack sort of like you know how you got to this sort of style of writing and style of art making. But let's take it back to the beginning. Just tell us a little bit about yourself. So how did you get into writing? You know, what came first, words or images? And then we'll take it from there.
So I'm actually an engineer. I did network engineering, but that is like some electronics and communication. Then I worked as a network engineer for a while. Though I started writing the early age, around 14 or 15. I think that was when the time when I started getting drawn to words and imagery in particular in words. And I love fascination and this almost meditative experience that I would that words would instill in me. So I think you just get transported into a different realm or a different transcendental experience when if you truly allow the words to, you know, seep through you. So that was, I think, the beginning for me reading in books, whether it was in school or whether it was novels. So that's when my journey, and my inclination towards poetry started. And images, I'm not sure exactly when I started getting drawn to art as such. I think science and art both have been an important part of my life in integral aspects. But photography, I think whenever we started using camera phones, I think I would go around hopping around in my garden and take pictures of everything. I would love observing things down close, see, you know, if you can see, you see these repetitive patterns that emerge and beautiful macro shots will reveal things to you. I think
Excuse me, Akirti, I just have a small technical problem with me just for 1 second, man. Sorry, man. There's just a problem with my sound real quick. Just bear with me for 1 second. I just need to get one thing quickly. My speaker is not working. No, we can pick up where you left off. Sorry, man, my speaker, my Bluetooth battery ran out. Anyway, yeah, let's just pick
No
it up for
worries.
him.
Yes, so I think I was talking about photography, and I think when I was younger, I would roam around in my garden. We had this farmhouse kind of a place where I grew up for most part of my childhood, and I would love taking pictures of trees and birds and the sky, of course. But I think the main thing, primarily what draws me, is observing light, how it plays at different angles, and you know, if you just keep observing it every day, you'll see different patterns emerge, different mellow and surprising you know, feelings that emanate through colors. And so this create, you know, it struck me and how beautiful everything can look in different angles. So that is, I think, the, you know, a camera works, it's a wonderful medium in that sense.
It is very cool. It is very cool. That's super interesting, man. So just tell me about your you also publish poet. I know that poetry poets, especially in South Africa, they feel they've only arrived once they've been published as a poet, whether it be in a journal or an anthology or online or something. Your writing is all over. I don't look at that. So tell us a little about your writing, and tell us a little about your. We'll get into the like the published work and what you're currently doing, but you know, let's just start from the beginning.
So I think primarily my writing centers more around the subject or themes of body and health, because I've dealt with some chronic health issues. So I think they have been somewhat they emerged as a pivot around which my poems tend to you know, revolve. I think it's a natural instinct, because when you start writing, whatever is within you and you know, your subconscious, and it starts to come down on paper. So the healing processes involved with it, the concentrations involved with the body. And at the same time, I think it's also about observation and meditative experiences, because they go a long way in healing, I think, and also how I like to look at life. So observing a plant, a leaf, a stem, or just the patterns of bricks, the buildings, how things look in reflecting planes. I think all of these small things, objects to, you know, or whether it is science, whether it's physics, you know, you can
That's
draw
interesting.
inspiration from there as well. Yeah, so I would I think I've further going on, I would love to explore a mixture of science and poetry together. And there is work that's being already done in that area where people have come together, and it's always been, it's been done before as well. But
Yeah.
I would really like to explore quantum poetry or programming with code or something like
Wow,
that. A mix of the two.
Tell me a bit more. I've never heard of that. Quantum poetry. Tell us a little bit more about that. What does it entail and what is the poetry about?
So I think it depends on how you interpret the term. So there is a poet, I think, if you've heard of Amy Catanazzo. So what she's done is they've had poems sent to quantum colliders as well. I think I'm not certain it's quantum colliders, but they send poems into space as well. And I think we can use algorithms like, you know, AI or such digital circuits and all, where you can create a poem where multiple words would come in combinations and different poems would come. So in a single you know, set of words, you can have multiple poems emerge. The other thing is just exploring science like geometry or sculptures or a mix of architecture and objects. So all of these subjects can also, you know, be open a medium for you to explore different poetry in a different manner than how we, you know, conventionally see it. Like a
Fantastic.
mixing of different mediums. Yeah.
Do you by
Like
any
that.
chance have a poem like that that you could share with us on hand?
Just give me a second, let me check.
To give my listeners like a example.
So this one's circle. This poem's titled "Circle," and it's revolves around, of course, Circle Week. From draws inspiration from geometry. Circle inherits the face of a clock. In it, the hyena feet, the negative sky, the great invisible center rests somewhere, and around it, the hands of the universe. My mouth, squeaking rat, a sound into the conical trunk. The letter O squashed, lying in the imagination of a giant mind. That which inherits its own charm, a silliness, chasing oneself through the ants of time. Circle, the mind of a euphoric god, an orange in the wide-eyed glare of a long evening, resting over the caps of the two knees. Circle, the idea in infinity.
Thank you for that. Thank you for that. I just want to take it back to because I'm fascinated by how you're putting science and poetry together. First, there's a left and right side of the brain, which is great. In South Africa, just to give you some perspective, and I know this is not unique to Africa. A lot of our artists outside of the West, like the UK and the States, are forced to do many, many different things. So we are forced to be like our own agent, our own secretary, we do our finance. And I think that sort of balances because you know a lot of that's to do with figures and numbers. So you sort of so you sort of balance your both the northern and the hemisphere, the right and the left hemisphere of the brain. And I think that sort of leads to a very interesting way artists in static like conceptualize the work. So with you with coming in with science, I guess like I hope you understand what I was, but like where does the magic begin? Where does the collaboration start? Does the is it the science that sort of that being involved in that does that give a rise to certain themes, textures and like add, or do the words come first? But you understand what I'm asking?
I think I would say if you've seen Doctor Who, there's this episode in it where she says that poetry and physics are the same thing, and it's not, So I think I cannot articulate exactly how what comes first, but I think both of them simultaneously copulate in a way. So when you are observing the world or reading something, when you come across a book or anything about science, and you're drawn to it. You're drawn to the. It's an inspiration that strikes, and I think it lingers in your mind, the ideas, the thoughts. So when you think of something, like you pick up a theme or a subject, and if I said like if I like the poem I wrote, or if I'm thinking about geometry, so I'll think about circle, and then automatically, the two worlds will merge for me. So it's not as much as what comes first, or because it's a cumulative process. And both things are going on simultaneously in your body, in your mind, and how you process it at different intervals. So a poem, I think, is always not that it emerges at the instant that it's written, but it's a process that's been going on in you for a very long time. And then it just forms on the paper at that time.
Beautiful, beautiful. You mentioned early on, and through our correspondence last year, you said you were, you had some form of illness, and you even mentioned early on that that was also sort of, to do with your health. How does, I mean, this is kind of personal, but I hope it's not too personal. But how does your health issues sort of contribute to you, to your art making, to your writing and your processes? How do you look at it? Basically, is it a is it a disability or but you get where I'm going.
So I think it's more trying to grasp an understanding of why there is suffering in nature. I think where I had a kidney transplant that was like 8 years ago, and so I think there are some immunosuppressants, so there are some things that come and go with it. But when I think about my health, I think what happens is when you deal with physical pain at a chronic level, when you have to confront the reality of, coping with physical pain repeatedly. And also you meet a lot of people in hospitals, they come across their suffering. So it has a psychological impact as well. And the body can be very demanding in that sense. Like if you're not feeling well, then it overtakes everything, and it has that consequence of, draining you. So I think that is there, but also it opens this channel, I think, in a way, where you're looking, willing to observe different mediums, where you're willing to, explore life from a different dimension now. And you're trying to understand the balance of the world and why suffering exists, and also what you can make of this suffering, how it also, one more thing would be that your sense of compassion increases because you understand, and a lot of writing always comes from a sense of compassion, I believe. Because, we say we put ourselves in others' shoes. So, you're able to relate to everybody, even if their suffering is in a different sort of a different dimension. But you get more attuned and more sensitive to suffering itself and to the wound that exists within all living things, or, people, of course.
That's interesting. I mean, it actually leads to me to another point. Most of the artists I talk to on this platform are very hip to the idea that their art is a healing tool, whether it be music, poetry, visual art, or even in some cases entrepreneurship. where they're very much in tune with what's happening in their society. Do you feel that your poetry is a and your artwork, but we'll get to the painting as well. Do you feel that's a tool for healing that others who had similar suffering can sort of identify maybe themselves in it and can use that as some form of healing tool?
Yes, definitely, definitely. I think I too found resonance in poets' work. When I was depressed or when I was going through certain things, then poetry became a shelter for me. And I do feel that I would love that if I can provide in any small way that same feeling for somebody else who's walking along the same path or encountering a similar difficulty. And people realize that, the thoughts that come into their head or the way they are feeling, they're not alone in it, and that somebody else has been there before. And what tools or what coping mechanisms maybe someone else has used before, maybe they can apply it to themselves. And how is this possible to lead a fulfilling life despite going through difficulties? So.
Let's get into the sort of the publishing side of the work. Do you have like your own anthology, like a physical book besides we get to the digital printing and publishing? That's a
So I do have poems published in anthologies and literary magazines, but right now I have my first chapbook coming from Sigillus Press. So it's a combination of prose poems and artwork, and I'm kind of excited because it's my first book out there that will be coming soon.
Tell us a
And
little bit more about
it's like, so this one is centered, these poems that I've written are centered around recovery and healing, and more of a transcendental spiritual experience along with that. If you'd like, I can read a poem from the book, one of the
absolutely.
poems.
Please do. Yeah, please.
So the poem is titled Percussion. Legs shrink, sweaters remolded into the bare wool that makes them. One can see the vivid marrow in the mirror. The kneecaps grow like tombs upon lathered skin. The smell of skin is like that of a newborn's powder, lotion, cream. It is the haven where chemicals mix and pronounce birth and death with equal stress. I spell the linen touch of the folding sheet between my thighs. All sensations are now reserved for analysis. Each muscle squats, damp liquid, and simmers in the reflected sheen of a long room. The room is an oval mouth. Here, my trepidations occur as erosions on the banks of a river. Small letters weave the tapestry of an entire skeleton. The body occurs as diamonds and bones. I'm opening my whistle mouth in the center of this percussionist game, and the small, pitiable body, I think, is also the most pious, serving both death and life with equal devotion. Thank you.
Thank you. I was listening to that. I don't know if you're familiar of the Mexican painter Frida Kahlo. She was
Yes.
very beautiful. Yeah. She sort of conceptualized her pain very visually and very like graphically. And
Yes, very stunning imagery.
Because there's a lot of visual elements in your poetry as well. Just from a, yeah, I know that men, not, I don't want to get into this conversation, but I know that men and women experience pain differently, for sure. I mean, that is just science. And it sounds uncomfortable, like, how can I say? I could sort of get a sense of some of the uncomfort and the pain. Is that very therapeutic for you? I mean, like if you, I mean, you were dealing with all this physical amounts, and then you got the pen and paper. Is it, is that process therapeutic for yourself?
Yes, I think it's very therapeutic. There's this outpouring that happens and a confessional realm, whenever you create, there is this, almost sort of trance-like experience where you sort
Yeah,
of
man.
spontaneously burst into emotions and
Yeah,
thoughts,
man.
and
Yeah,
everything
man.
flows like a river. And so whatever is inside you, whatever accumulated pain, like sediments of pain that are inside you, they sort of come out in different forms. And when they do, I think any sort of release, emotional release, is always, sense of gives you a sense of comfort after that. And it also makes you, it feels like you're having a conversation with the universe itself, like you're talking to it. And that gives you a sense of empowerment after it, like you have
Yeah.
somehow put the truth on a slice of truth on paper. And you know that, you know, people can resonate with it maybe someday. And someone who's going through the same thing would be able to, you know, feel the same emotion, the same frequencies, and resonate with that.
Absolutely, absolutely. I sort of want to pivot slightly, which is something I actually should have asked in the beginning. I mean, being based in India, you guys got many different languages there. I know you're also one of the biggest English-speaking countries in the world. Do you write in any other language? Is English your primary language? And I'd like to know why.
I think that's a very interesting question. Sometimes I've, you know, tried to understand it myself as to why, you know, English became my primary, you know, language, the language that I turned to in writing. So I do write poems in Hindi, but not that much. Hindi is my mother tongue, and or there will be words like bilingual. I'm bilingual, so there will be poems that will have some words incorporated from Hindi or Sanskrit at times. So that is there. But writing primarily in Hindi, that doesn't happen very often. And I think I'm just as curious to know. I think probably it's to do with the school education. You know, they put a lot of stress on English speaking because that's how you get all the jobs and that's the demand of the world, especially when you work in a multinational company. And I think that somewhere percolates into your subconscious and you start to speak in English. And because your education, especially and the reading part, happens a lot within this language. So I think your engagement with that language increases in that sense. Your intellectual or your left and right brain engage more with, you know, English, because that's how, that's the language you're being educated in.
Interesting. It's very similar over here as well. You have writers. There are all our in South Africa, for example, like the Zulu a language is the biggest language in the country. So if you're a Zulu writer, you can write primarily in that, but you have to dabble in English as well. And a lot of writers, looking for international audiences, of course. They write because, as you say, it's international business language. But there's also this big thing in South Africa about preserving our own languages and getting young writers to write in that. Do you guys in India, experience a similar? Is it similar there?
I do think a lot of people take interest in this, and we want to preserve our languages. So while language is preserved in the sense that, you know, colloquial way or the everyday dialogues or everyday conversation, it is preserved. But we would also like to preserve literature in our own languages, right? And so there are a lot of people who translate from one language to another, poets who do that, and there is encouragement that is, you know, for that as well. So it is definitely something that happens, and I'm glad it does.
And from a commercial perspective, which one makes most sense? Is it commercially better to write in English or in Hindi?
Commercially, I think both have their pros and cons. So while India, you know, there are a lot of people who do speak in English, but there is still, it's not a native language for a huge percentage of the population. So there is this thing that so it's like a trade-off. You reach an international audience, but you're not able to reach a lot of people in your own country unless your work is translated. So, but commercially, otherwise, I think English would probably still have more of an edge in selling books.
Yeah, that's interesting
Because
because of the same. Yeah, sorry.
there are more people, I think, who read are speaking in English or speaking in more than one language, but that usually includes English as well. So
Yeah, that sort of leads me to the next theme is like I mean the reason why I connected with it because your work was English and it was available online as well. That is interesting because as creators, it's fascinating for me, and I'm trying to sort of document that systematically over the years, is to see how talking primarily English and connect online, what's that going to do long term to our respective cultures? And this is across the globe, specifically in Africa. I find that's a very interesting subject there. I mean, like I've seen you've also been published quite a few times on various journals and so forth. Tell me, Is there a bit more variation to your writing? I'm talking professionally, that is, for example, like essays and opinion pieces and this like that.
So primarily I write poetry, but I have written book reviews and I'm currently writing one. And I think I would like to explore more essays. I have written prose pieces once or twice, but not published them as such very much. So I hope that at some point of time I do want to explore prose writing in form of nonfiction essays and or absurdist writing as well. So I let's see how that goes. But yes, I definitely have an inclination towards writing poetry. There are a few pieces that are published online, but not a lot of them. Yeah.
Interesting. It's fascinating. I find it's fascinating that I different thousands of miles away, but our processes are the same. The
Yeah.
issues are different, but it's the same. I find that super interesting. I also mean that could potentially one of the stuff I'm really strong about on this platform is how artists are engaging with social media and digital platforms. I've started my own company actually, where we're building an app, sort of an e-commerce or a platform for artists to broadcast their work and so forth. Because since COVID, the landscape in South Africa has changed quite considerably, and in some cases it didn't change at all. And I find that I'm actually rebelling against that. I think there's not enough. I think we don't embrace technology enough in this country, and we're sort of scared of it, or I don't know. How would I want to get like what's that scene like in India? For example, I want to give a practical example, like the best way for an artist, and let's use a writer, to get his work out there is to actually do book launches, to be physically to go out physically in book cafes and so forth, perform and read and so forth. And if you, as a poet, if you are not a good performer, then you need another little hustle to get. You need to be visual or controversial or something, but there needs to be something. You can't just be a writer, just hope that people will accept your work. And with COVID, I mean, it's pretty expensive to go from like Johannesburg to Cape Town to Durban and so forth. Just traveling, and that can be pretty pricey. And but that's still the, I guess, the preferred or the default way of how writers get their work out there. I find that in South Africa, we're not really using social media to its full, and obviously people will critique me for that. But I mean, that's fair. And there's also no real. I mean, artists. Not many artists are selling through their personal websites, their own websites. But yeah, I'm sure you get it. I don't want to drop too much, give you too many examples. But what's that like for writers in India? Is it still the traditional way, or do you have another, or is using social media and differently?
I think social media has invaded the lives here. It plays a prominent role, especially
Emma.
for young writers. And I'm connected to, I think, most of the writers and poets that I know are through Facebook and social media only. So we have a few cities, like I think, where there is more literary activity or more arts and culture centered, are more arts and culture centered. But otherwise, there is a whole area, I mean, you have to travel a lot between the metros. That's where, you have your literary festivals and book cafes and a reading audience who will, you can reach out to. But other than that, people rely a lot on social media right now to sell their books. And there have been, post-COVID, there have been online conferences, online Zoom meetings, and events, online poetry events to, encourage and support and to sell people's books, or, online book launches as well. So I think people are using social media, maybe not to the full extent. There's always scope for more. Like you said, most people don't have their own websites. I do not have my own website yet. So yeah, I think that is true, that we're not using it to its fullest capacity. But definitely a lot of people are using it in a good way, and it's come, they've come
So,
far, I think.
with your publication that is coming up, is there a specific firstly, are you working on your own, or are you working with a publisher?
So the chapbook that's coming is I work with the publisher. As in, of course, I wrote the whole thing and then I submitted it, and that's when it got accepted. And but that's the process. I think you compile your manuscripts and then you send to publishers and or send to contests, and then they accept or deny it. So that is the usual
Is
process. So
the publisher in India?
this particular chapbook that's coming, that's a publisher in the US. It's a Sigillus Press. It's a visual poetry press. So because it's a combination of both artwork and poems there,
Yeah,
and maybe
yeah.
in the future I hope to publish with a publisher in India. Yes, probably in the
Yeah,
future
yeah.
maybe.
Yeah, we're gonna I actually wanna ask about that, about the publishers in India. In South Africa, just to give you some context, we've got a lot of indie publishers here, which means like independent publishers. There's actually quite a few, so you can get very niche in that regards, and very nuanced. And most of them, because our writing, books is not, it's tricky. It's not as easy as selling junk food, for example. Like you need to be very creative, and a lot of publishers got their own little jig, their own hustle, how they do that. And I find that fascinating because it's so different from city to province, and it's fascinating how creatives identify their market and sort of apply themselves to that. I find that thing fascinating, and I find that it's very interesting to talk about guests like that from across the globe, how they publish it. But if your publisher is based in the States, it'll be difficult, obviously, for you to comment on that. There was a just a just a just another point. There was a sister I spoke to last year, and she sort of flies under the main the big name names in South Africa, but she's got a very good deal in the States. I think her publisher was also on the West Coast, and it was fascinating how Americans conceptualize the work, which she deals with identity politics, how they conceptualize and how they package the. I was very critical. I was kind of critical about it, but I could understand I could understand why. At the end of the day, you want to push units. So that's actually a theme I'd like to explore. But we could do it on another date. Like how do they package somebody from India? Yeah. Anyway, there's a few. There's a I'm a very strong Pan-Africanist, and I believe in Africa, solutions for African people. And I don't always think that the West, I don't always think they look and understand us properly. With that said, this session is kind of running out here, and I want to talk about your visual art, and we can sort of talk about like dates and stuff around your project and some a little bit about your photography. And maybe get in another poem. So I'd like to close wrap up the session, and I will send you another link. I think in about 9 minutes time. You fine like that?
Yeah, sure.
Thanks.
Okay.
Hi everybody. We are back. Just got itchy eyes. Anyway, there's polls for that. Although, just for the record, I don't advocate anybody taking pills. I don't like the pharmaceutical industry. I don't like that shit. Akirti, thanks, man. Let's jump into you. Early on, we spoke about, and I found this fascinating, how you spoke, like how you were looking at nature and looking at how light falls in it and the different angles and sort of how you conceptualize that. If I must look at your also, just before we get that, in talking about your poetry being in such a personal and literally painful space, I know that also sort of reshapes or reroutes how somebody conceptualizes art. And looking at your paintings, so visual art is my thing, so bear with me. The colors are dramatic, okay? The colors are pretty dramatic. The line. Your use of light, now that you explained the issue with your kidneys, I can make that association. It's also very conceptual. There was one I had a look here earlier where you referenced birds. Birds is kind of my thing. That's I've been making art about that for the past 1,000 years, and it's always interesting how different artists can conceptualize it. But I like looking at they call it the city birds. You know, the cities all over the globe. I always looked at that as a metaphor for a lot of crazy things. But I see you also use that. And I said the line making in some instances I almost get a sense that you were literally like drawing hard on the paper. You know, there was a almost a physical element to it. Just explain to us from the beginning about your use of color and use of line, and we'll take it from there.
So I think I would still consider myself an amateur artist as far as drawings and paintings are considered. But like you said, there's an almost physical element to it. I love working with just abstractions in general, like shapes that they're not concrete or figures or shapes that can be translated in the sense that you definitely understand, okay, well, this is equivalent to this. But more like abstract landscapes that I can work with, which explore the energy. And I think primary sense is, a conveyance of the energy of a particular emotion. And I think my use of colors, it's more, it will depend upon the emotion that I'm feeling. Whether it's, I think I often use red and blue, probably because they're bold colors and they depict the pain. At the same time, when I'm shifted to a more mellow mood, exploring nature or something, or listening to, I also love drawing or writing when listening to classical music. So I think that sort of energy also pours out. So, yeah.
Talking about music. Music is also a huge passion of mine. What type of music? You say classical music. What other type of music do you listen to?
So classical music, I also listen to jazz, classical music. I explore all different genres, but while writing, I think I prefer, or writing or drawing, I prefer listening to classical because it's more soothing. So I think like in one of my books, I've written a lot of poems to Max Richter's music and Debussy or, Philip Glass. Yes, I'm not
Yeah.
able to recollect, but yeah,
Yeah, interesting.
Arbogart. Yeah.
I'm interesting when you now that you mentioned the red and blue, I saw that obviously a lot of black. There's sort of a you say that like you said you don't consider yourself the visual artist, but like I find one thing I find interesting is that is with art is that it's like where the art is coming from. If one was just gonna, like my nephew's just dabble paint, you know, that is clearly just like a 12-year-old or 3-year-old. But if the art is coming from a certain place, how it gets channeled through, I find the process very physical and very conceptual at the same time. It literally comes from the body, you know, you look your eyes, it goes through your hands. I find that process fascinating. And you were saying that, you know, sometimes with a lot of pain, and I definitely get that, almost a sense of craziness. Just a point on that. In this whole post-COVID world that we all living in, on this platform, because I started this podcast during the hard lockdown in South Africa, so that was early 2020, 4 years ago this time. And what I've noticed systematically over time is how artists became a lot more spiritual. They look more within self. I wouldn't say the commercial element died out because there's still that because we still need to eat. But I found you know artists just thinking you know more about themselves. Was there a similar I would say shift in your part of the world?
Yes, there was, I think, because I think when there was this well, the quarantine, and it gives you this room to reflect, and there is this there's a new sanctuary where you're forced, and at the same time you to spend time with yourself, and you cannot venture out into the open, you cannot distract yourselves in the ways that you used to do before. So that gives room for a lot of exploration and introspective thinking, which I think happened with a lot of people, not just artists. Everyone, venture moved along these paths. And of course, there was suffering. Everyone dealt with suffering or lost somebody. And that automatically leads to this transition where you want to understand things, where you want to find solace and comfort. and you turn to more healing paths or spiritual paths, or you just look for different mediums. Like art itself is one medium where you can, find some solace and try to make sense of things, I think.
Yeah, just to add on to that point, that's also I also think that the role of art has changed in society, or changing since, in some cases it was just an aesthetic. I mean, we spoke earlier on about how you contextualize your pain. I mean, that is a real thing, and that can be used as an actual tool. I have a very good friend that uses music. That's actually like his job. Full-time job where they actually use music as a healing tool. And I'm talking music as in like African sounds, the djembe, the drum, and so forth. I think that's fascinating stuff. And I also think that art, the role of art is changing, and it's always fascinating how artists are sort of adapting to that. Because as you said, there was a big chance of artists of, looking at themselves, being isolated. And I think that's also another part that I'm very interested in, is how they relate to technology. I'm a big champion for technology. Anyway, but I don't wanna get into that today. Let's just go back to your book and sort of talk about sort of the marketing or like things to do with the dates and so forth. So you're saying you've been working on it for a while. Just give us a little. Like a little three-worder on like how long it is, what it comprises of again, and sort of like, and you
So
take it
the
from.
book is titled God. The book is titled God, Am I Your Eyelid? And I think the title is a reflection of the intimacy that I'm talking about when it comes to, God is an idea and God is a presence. I would say I'm agnostic, but there are sides of me that
Me
dwell
too.
towards mysticism, and at times I'm skeptic. And this poem, I think, revolves around, when I say, it's one of my poems, actually, in the book. It has the same title, God, Am I Your Eyelid? And that is the title of the chapbook as well. So it's an exploration of how, when you face a traumatic event, because I was hospitalized due to COVID, and because I'm on immunosuppressants, it was more of a serious hospitalization. So I think the confrontation with the reconciliation, the process of healing, and how you adapt to it, how the time and recovery. So I think the poems are centered around those themes. But there were also, like I said, a more spiritual experience for me as well, because I developed a sense of this meditative experience with the objects in my room, with the sunlight. And trying to experience or being, it also reminds you what all you have, we have so much to be grateful for and which we take for granted. So I think that is one realization that comes to you or that dawns upon you. So the book itself consists of prose poems and some artwork. It's a mixed media artwork. It's thread work and metals. And I've taken photographs of them. And that constitutes the artwork there.
Okay, fantastic, man. Thanks, man. Is there any dates with regards to when it might be launched? Is there any online?
Most likely we're expecting this month. I'm hoping this month, but I don't have the final release date yet, but sometime this month, hopefully.
Oh, fantastic, man. Please let me know. I'll definitely promote it for you on my platforms. What I usually do with all my episodes is I chop them up into shorts. And I'll definitely package this, but that we're talking about here, and I can push it out, closer to the date, and do another little gig, thingy around that. How are you guys? Since you're publisher in the States, like in terms of book launch and stuff like that. What do you have in mind? Or how are you gonna go about doing it?
I think I'm planning more for a virtual book launch, and I think the idea would be I can go on podcasts or online Zoom meetings and promote the book that way in here in India, and of course abroad. So I think with online promotion I can reach both an international audience and an Indian audience, and later at some point I would like to go to a book cafe here or do a reading in Delhi somewhere.
Is there just for interest sake, is the poetry culture big in Delhi? Is there a strong following for English based poetry?
Relatively, yes. I think as compared to the rest of the country, I think we have Delhi, Bombay, Kolkata, So more of a literary culture here. That's definitely
Okay.
more dense here than compared to other cities.
The book, the pricing and the format, is it going to be a soft copy? Is it a digital copy?
No, it'll be a chap book, a hard copy only, yes.
Okay. And obviously your publisher will do all of this and that and this and that. Most of the poets I ask, is there like a go-to poem for your book? I mean, and you read us two very beautiful and very personal, and thank you for that. It's always, yeah. I enjoy when artists feel comfortable to do something really personal. I love that. Is there a go-to poem, a poem that you will market, use to market the book or forth, or yeah, but you get what I'm saying.
I think Rilke's Rainer Maria Rilke's Duino Elegies are something that I tend to return to, and he's one of my favorite poets. So that is those poems are some poems I return to, and Sylvia Plath's poems at times.
Yeah,
So I try to return.
I love Sylvia Plath. Is there anything that you could read for us?
Mine or from one of these poets?
No, from your piece, from your book, from the chat book.
So actually, there are, I like one just a second. Okay, so this is one of the poems. It's not in the chat book, but if it's all right with you, I'd like to read this one.
Okay.
Self, I'm sick to death of this particular self, and yet self looms like a cut blade from the fan, just packed in the fawn kilt of liver purses, blow-by, hawker of pills and memories. It is packed, it is stitched, and yet I could drag my tongue out and show you. It eludes the very eye that hosts, that it doesn't reside within. Perhaps plotting on the eyelash, a bout of mascara, and it, between air and pus scratches. The body is a temple, you say. Whose small tooth then desecrated it? Self slapped between thighs, self stuck in white tube tongue, self ruling bimbi on mirror. Center of all, pervading everything, stealing, knocking, watching, cannot be traded, eludes a shade of breath, whose eye sleeps adrift on the bone tonight. Thank
Thank you for that. Thank you for that. It was fascinating talking to you.
was
Uh,
lovely
I
talking
I thought that your processes are super interesting. It's been very personal, and like the quantum poetry blew my mind. I'm definitely gonna follow up with two of it, and I'm gonna tell everybody about it. I think that's fascinating. I've never heard of that. I'm actually so blown that there's this relationship between art. Between poetry and science, that is fascinating, and it's something. I enjoyed that very much. Akriti, thank you very much for coming through, my sister. To all my listeners, if you enjoy this podcast, smash that like and subscribe button. It helps me a lot. I will definitely fun chop this, market this episode. I'll publish this thing. I'll tell you when. Today is the 10th. It will be next week, Friday. Okay, this thing is taking forever. Hold on. On the 15th, I shall publish this on the 15th of March. And I'll yeah let me know about closer to your with if there's any dates to do with your book launch. And I said
Yes.
we've got a very interesting publisher poetry scene in South Africa. There's actually quite a lot of, I'd say, energy and a lot of sessions, especially around spoken word slam poetry. That's also got an interesting niche market here, but also the written word for sure. And lots of my friends, in fact, a very good friend of mine is coming over, and she's a very, very good poet. So we'll be talking about your work today for sure. And if there's, yeah, as I said, I'll definitely do my bit because it's, I'm passionate about the arts and I love what I do. So it should be what early afternoon. It's about 1 o'clock here with me. Yeah,
Yeah,
so
it's
enjoy the
around
rest of your
4:30
afternoon.
here.
Yeah,
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 around
yeah.
4:30 here. 4:30 here.
So yeah, we it's almost lunchtime here with me. My stomach is also telling me it's close to lunchtime. So, my sister, thank you very much for coming through. Enjoy the rest of your
Thank
afternoon.
you.
I will definitely be in touch.
I'll be touched. Look forward to it. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Esther. One love, one love, one love.